Did you see that as the
wire? No, I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't tell you. Okay, we are up to Chafam and Beis. And we're up to Ahid Asor Lekamid the Rebbe. So again, I took out the Shulchan Aruch yesterday. I read what it says. And let us move on. Ahi, where is Ahi? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 lines before the end of the narrow line. The last word on the line. Ahi, Tassoy, Lekamid, the Rebbe. A lady came to Rebbe. Amroi, Rebbe, a rachtila shochan, I prepared the table, v'havchai. So again, machlaikas v'shaynam. The Rush learns, v'havchai means, he was Mishamish like Kedarka. I was ready for a regular relationship, and he wanted and demanded or asked for that I have this relationship like Kedarka. Other Rishayim learn, I wanted to be the regular way, man on top, woman on bottom, and he turned it over. He wanted himself to be on the bottom and me to be on top. Again, it's a Machlokes Rishayim. So, Amalah, Rebiti, Kaira Hitirascha, Vani Ma'asalach. The Torah allows it. So what am I supposed to do for you? The Torah allows the husband to choose the way. Again, we're not talking about violence now, but he has the right to ask and ask strongly for any way he wants to, and I can't do anything for you. He does so the Kamad Rav. Amalei Rebbe, Alachti Leshulchan V'Havchai. Amalei, he said, Maishna B'Menisa, what can I tell you? It's like having a fish. You can prepare the fish any way you want. Your obligation in marriage is to be available for him in any legal manner. And this is a legal manner. Now again, I will just point out that the Gemara said before there might be consequences for this legality. But it's legal. The Rush, I'm not going to say where it is because everybody has a different print. Mimbenisa, dog sha'achlai tzli shalok mavushal kibirit zaynai. A fish that you eat anyway. What? Now, again, I will only say this, and I'm putting myself out on a limb because I don't know if this is something that culture might have a say in. Because if women are resistant today, it's like in those days I'm going to say something that's controversial, but I think I'll say it anyway. In those days, women were more subjective and understood their role in a more subjective way. Today, Hawaii women only realize that they're equals, not more than equal. So, right, so it's a different approach in a relationship. So she doesn't expect to be subjective to the point that it was. So it might be today, I'm not postulating, it might be today the husband doesn't have all those rights in his wife, not halakhically, because halakhically he does, but because it's the expected way of behavior. Yes?
Two things. Number one, the word is not subjective, it's subordinate.
Thank you.
Number two, it's a pasuk, which is usually translated as the copulations, plural, of a woman.
But it's not written in a positive way. It's talking about a woman, that person that's mezada. That's what the pasuk is talking about, whether she's mezada one way or the other. The Gemara is the Gemara. I don't change the Gemara. I don't argue with Gemara. I'm just saying today might be that forcing a woman to something she doesn't want to do might get involved in a different kind of structure. Again, I just bothered with that. Right.
But
I'm not going to get involved in that because I'm just saying what I think. Yes.
But Rebbe said before yesterday, why can't that be used as a reason not to do it? It causes bad things to happen. Why isn't that
because how long it leads to mutter?
No, but bad things. If a bad consequence comes out, that's not valid.
What can I tell you? The Gemara before said that Rabbi Yechim Davoy said that causes chigris.
Right.
The Gemara said here, Amru Chachamim, it's not true. They argue in Yechim Davoy. So I would have said, they say there are no consequences. But the Shulchan Aruch, who says there are consequences. So what am I supposed to do?
You have the star, the captive woman, right?
What?
In war, okay. You have a star, the captive woman. I'm
not sure I understand what you're talking about.
You have a star.
Who?
You're
fast star, right.
Similar thing, no?
Again,
what do you do?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we have a third. You bring in various things into Israel, which has both. But, I mean, Avram, do you ever walk in the street on Friday night dressed like some sort of ninja?
Like what? I'm sorry?
Some sort of ninja dressed all in black and such like that. Do you ever walk in the street on Friday night?
Okay, I'm not...
You know, people do things which are not bright. I'm stuck.
Okay, anyway, again, I had a problem with this. The Gemara did say Chachamim argue. So if you're arguing, you're saying differently. And all your Rechem and Devoy said was that this is the consequence. He didn't say it's us, sir. But the Gemara brought that the Chachamim are arguing and saying it's okay. So I would have said okay means no consequence. But the Shulchan Aruch, who paskins like the Chachamim, does mention consequence. So, again, I'm not going to comment. Right. So I think of my right. It says in the Pasuk, it's a Surah Rachwe Levavchem. Do not...
Yeah, but one other thing is bothering me. A woman at that time couldn't, you know... Women, I mean, you can't...
You said that.
Okay. It's a Surah Rachwe Levavchem. Again, I don't have 5 minutes.
How about just in general? A woman could say, you know, I'm not interested in... Forget about regular way, not regular way. I'm not interested. At that time, she didn't have a say in that matter?
I don't know. Person's not allowed to... Okay, we'll say in a minute. Do not follow your hearts. A person's not supposed to have a relationship with one woman and think about another woman. Zucked the Rash. Very important here. No, it's not here. But the Rishayim speak out, I think it's the Ran, that says that it's even a different wife. Guy's married to two wives. And he's living with one and thinking about the other. That's for Shasur Rachel Levavchem. It's a negative. Dr. Gemara Reiter. I'm a Rabbeinu Le'nitzvah, but I'm a Beis Narsha, but it's a Gemara, I thought it was the Ran. Who Bereisi Mechem Hamordim Vapashim Bi. Bereisi has two meanings, the Rush says. One is a lashon of I will separate. I will separate those who are rebelling and, well, I don't know what the difference is, Mordim and Peshim, rebelling and?
Transgressing.
What? Transgressing. Against me. That's the Pasuk. The Rush brings a second translation. I'm not sure. He brings the Pasuk, but I don't know what the Pasuk means. Bara etzem b'char v'aysam.
To bore through something.
So I will bore. So v'aysi mechem. I will bore from you. I would think I would create. Notion of bara, but I don't know what that pasuk means.
I don't think that's what that means.
Anyway, we'll see in a second. So zok the Gemara. Amar ablevi elu b'nei teisha mitas. These are children that are conceived from nine different ways, nine things that can happen in a relationship that affect the child's neshama. And it makes a tendency that the child will be hamardim v'hapashim bi, will be born with a negative. And now the Gemara lists it. Now we have a different girsa than the Rush has. I will just point that out because it makes a big difference in the count. Number one, B'nai Ema. So the Rishayim or Agairis Ema learn a woman, a child that's conceived when a woman is doing the relationship against her will. She's being frightened into it. The next case is B'nai Anusa. He physically forces her. That's worse than B'nai Ema. So we'll see that some Rishayim learn they count as one because the Gemara here lists 10. If it's 10, so it says 9. So they want to learn Eima Nanusa counts as 1, because it's the same idea. However, the Rush is Gairis here, B'nei Amma. And he says a big Kiddush. Dr. Rush, B'nei Amma, Dr. Rush.
Amma is also here?
No, Amma means a maidservant. Shifcha Meshuchreres. He freed a maidservant. He married a freed lady, guy. Become a shivcha, who now is freed. She's a complete Jew. Still, her children are born with a negative. Ugria Megiris, she's worse than somebody that came straight from being a guy to being a Jew. Because a lady that was once a Shivcha, life as an Eben and a Shivcha is full of nus. That is the character. This is what happens by Avadim and Shivchas. This lady is freed, but she is involved in nus. She has to pull herself away from a whole culture, which Gayim don't necessarily have. Therefore, marrying an Amma that was freed is not a good thing to do, because you're dealing with a woman whose mind wanders, is involved in snus. She might not actually do snus anymore, but it's all part of her makeup, which affects the child. That's how the Rush learns. The Rav is not Gairis Amma. He's Gairis B'nai Ema. And he says Ema is, she's afraid, and Anusa is physically forced. And the Ran speaks out, this is one. Going to the Ran, this is one, because Anusa is a greater form of Ema.
That's
what?
It takes it
out. Not there. What, Ema's not there?
No, that's B'nai Anusa.
What?
B'nai
Anusa. He takes that B'nai Anusa?
No, it's there. Ema's not there.
Okay, we have it. So, I don't know. Right then. B'nai Snua. B'nai Snua means he just doesn't like her. It's his wife that he doesn't like. I'll use the word doesn't like instead of hatred. Because they ask Akasha. It says, Leah called Shimon Shimon Shikisham Hashem Ki Snua Anayfi. And yet Yaakov had a relationship with her. So if Snua is a bad thing to do, to live with a woman you don't like. So they learned that Snua there doesn't mean Snua. It means she felt, in comparison to Rachel, that she's not as liked as Rachel. But it's not that he really disliked her, because that's this Gemara. If a person dislikes their wife, they should not have a relationship with her. The kids that come from such a relationship are born with a negative.
Is that like a Tzara?
Tzara means a second wife.
That's what I'm saying.
No, it has nothing to do with it. Tzara means they don't like each other. Tzara doesn't mean that the husband doesn't like them. B'nai Snua Zakarash, Ava B'shem B'libu Lagarsha, not planning to divorce her. He's going to stay married to her. He just doesn't like her. B'nai Nidui, if one of them is in Cherem, if one of them is excommunicated, it's Mutter. We learned earlier, it's a Shailan the Gemara, but we learned earlier, that it might be Mutter to have a relationship. In fact, the Ran, on that test, brought a Raya from this Gemara that it's Mutter. Because if not, what are we talking about B'nai Nidui? Right? He brings another right, because the Gemara asks, is he forbidden? He says it means that his wife has no illness nidui. Question is, Tash Mishamita. But this is Gemara saying, if a person does live with his menuda, wife that's menuda or he's menuda, there's consequences. Dr. Rad, Rush, B'nai Nidui, Im Hu Ahi, Menuda, Basurim, B'Tash Mishamita. Wadinami Avu, through Shiva. It's more shchiach. It's interesting. In those days, it's more shchiach to be in cherem than to be than to die. I guess a person only dies once. He can be in cherem multiple times. But b'nei tumura. B'nei tumura means he exchanged wives. Meaning he thought he was living with wife A and she was wife B. He made a mistake. And it was wife B. So the child of such a conception also is born with a negative. So here it is, a big tumult. The big tumult is Yaakov Avinu. David HaMelech also, but Yaakov Avinu is born before us. David HaMelech is a medrash. Yaakov Avinu is a pasuk. That he married Rachel. He thought it was Rachel. Vahiba Biker, Vahine Hilaya. See, David HaMelech's story is a medrash. But this is a very pasuk. He thought it, and Reuben was righteous I night. So Reuben was conceived that very night. And he thought it was Rachel and it was Leah. So here it is a big tumult. Most, again, different to Rutsim or Set. Some say that he wasn't Mechavim for any specific wife. He was Mechavim for the woman that it is. It happened to be, he thought it was Rachel, but he didn't think of Rachel during the time of the relationship. It's not that he thought he was living with Rachel. He thought he was living with whoever, with this woman. What?
He made all these signs.
Again, that's why he thought it was Rachel, but that's not what he had in mind, B'shas Tashmish. B'shas Tashmish, he had in mind this woman. And therefore, Dabinate tomorrow. However, anybody that's interested, there's an Arachayim that's very long that discusses this in Ruvain, Takas Kamayim, Al Taisar, in the Bracha of Ruvain that Yaakov gave. The Arachayim has a whole piece of why Yaakov Avinu, this whole piece of Bnei Tumura. Anybody that's interested can learn that piece of Arachayim. Yes?
I'm not certain if this is relevant enough. The Ari rites relate to the Aram of Nachash, the Mirma of Lavan, and the switching of Rachel and Leah, and that the Mirma was the Tikkun of the Aram.
Again, I'm reading a Gemara.
There's something in there, but.
B'nai Tumura is up to us.
Every single kid that's born from this, maybe there, no, this is...
Again, the Gemara that seems to say it's something that has a negative impact. Like I tell you, the Gemara doesn't say sometimes.
It says always.
It says, Elu B'nai Tei Shemizas. Zogdarash...
And the problem is, Rabbi, it's what you're saying, it's not Mistabra, that shifting cause should be...
Exactly. B'nai Tumura, Zogdarash, Rosh Nechlu V'nai Nishnaitza, they flipped. Sabra Lavi Azu, B'yacharet. Leiter. B'nai Meriva, they're arguing. They're fighting. He likes her, but they're having a fight. He shouldn't be living with her when there is friction.
Discourse.
Thank you. B'nai Meriva, Zogdarash, Rosh, and it's connected to Yachad. And he doesn't appease her. They don't make up. Like an Amoritz who beats his wife, but then lives with her and doesn't even try to appease her. Right? Again, Amoritz has nothing to do with learning here now. Meaning he just doesn't care. He doesn't have good meters. So that is not good for the child that's conceived. B'nai Shichrus, if either of the parties are inebriated, that's a negative. B'nai Grushas Halev, he decided he's going to divorce her. He likes her, but for whatever reason, he decided he's got to divorce her. Maybe his own problem. Maybe he feels he's just got to go somewhere. He likes her. It's a wonderful marriage, except he's got to get out. So he decided he was going to divorce her, and then he lives with her. That's B'nai Grushas Halev. B'nai Ervuvia. B'nai Ervuvia means he has a lot of wives, and he doesn't know who he's living with. He just, not that he thinks Rachel and Atreya. He just doesn't know. And B'nai Chatzufa. B'nai Chatzufa is that she demands the relationship. The woman asks for the relationship. She goes to her husband and says, I'd like to live with you tonight. That is not good for the child that's conceived with that. And we're going to explain this, so we'll see the Gemara. Dr. Ouch. Sorry? He didn't have kavana for anyone. He didn't care.
That's what you said about Yaakov Avinu.
No, Yaakov Avinu thought, okay, so again, I'm just about to let him say, this guy doesn't even think about whose body it is. There, he was mechavan to one lady, this body. That's why it's different. I'm just speaking out about letting him say, was not my terror.
Rashi is something Rashi touches for Leah. That it was, he spoke coarsely because he was stuck in the midst of the first day.
Again, that's Bavaya Allah, that's when he talked to Lavan.
Right. And when he said Lavan, it gave over. Rashi explains that was his kavana.
Again, Rashi is saying, I have to make 12 shvatim, I'm going to rush.
Exactly.
Well, that's not what it's, but I don't know what it's got to do with here.
I bet he didn't have the kavana for a particular woman. He had the kavana for
maybe.
The eldest of Lavan.
Maybe.
And as far as the children of a brazen woman, Rabbi Hirsch and Rabbi Davis, translation, we've got a problem with Yaakov again.
Again, we'll have to see. All this is going to be discussed. That's why we're learning this tomorrow. It's in the Gemara.
Okay.
Forget about Rabbi Hirschka. Nothing to do. I know I like him a lot, but it's a Gemara. So let's do the Gemara first.
I'm certain that he...
Zogdarash b'nei shichrus umhu ahi shchurim. If either he or her are drunk, they ain't kavanasim shleima. They don't have the right kavanas, because b'loi das, nefesh loi toiv. And when you do something without thinking, that's not a good idea. It's an act that's done without the proper thought process.
What is the thought process? Is it for who or... Just to have tashmish.
To have tashmish, but they're trying to conceive, it's through a boo, it's sheds to have, bring children, whatever it is, right? We're not learning now, race man. This is not the, that's not a discussion to have now. Right. Menei grushas alev, av menes noina, he doesn't hate her. He betrayed she died to the guard, shemahara acheres. Because the, what's wrong with having a relationship with a woman you plan to divorce? Because you're already, she's not a part of your life anymore. So you're thinking about other things, other women, because you're planning to get rid of her. That's what the Rosh said. What? Again, here he's not specifically thinking about anybody else, but here it lends itself that he might think about something else. It's a step further. Now, if you count them, it's 10. It's So therefore, the Ran says Eiman Anus is one. The Rosh, who's Gairus Amma, he explains Amma, he explains Snua, he doesn't explain Anusa. So he could have learned and said, because Anus is self-explanatory. But it could be he didn't have that Girsa. So yes, we don't know. All we know is the Rosh's count is 10. So one's got to go because the Gemara gave a number 9. So the Rosh explains all of them, but he leaves out Anusa. So without the problem of the numbers, I would have just said he doesn't explain every word in the Gemara. Some are self-explanatory. But since the Gemara says 9 and his Girsa has 10, so he has to come up with something. So it could be that's where the not taking it out comes from. Frank the Gemara, Amy, there's nothing wrong with a woman asking for a relationship. Any woman, any man whose wife desires, asks for a relationship, it's a good thing. So good that you can have kids that are bigger than Moshe Rabbeinu. That in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, not Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't exist. How do I know? That Moshe Rabbeinu asked for the judges to be chachamim levayna. And it doesn't say Nevinim, but it says Nevinim. He couldn't find Nevinim. Rashi speaks that out for him. He had a list of things, and he couldn't match them all. And yet, Yisachar Chamar Garem, Yisachar Chamar caused it. Right? It said that she heard Yaakov's donkey coming home, and she went and said to him, "Why, Tavoy, live with me tonight, because I paid for it. I gave the toy beneath." And what did Yisachar end up being? He was Nevinim. That means that relationship caused the Shevet. In Moshe Rabbeinu's generation, they couldn't find somebody that they found Ibnei Yisachar that was from Yisachar. So you see, it's a great thing. And we said it's one of the Teisha Midas. And for the Gemara, he's the Matsuya Arte. There's a difference in how a woman asks for a relationship. If she drops kinds of things that he recognizes this is what she wants, then it's a mitzvah to fulfill her will. Adarabba. Then he's doing a mitzvah. Aina. Then he's doing the right thing. Not only is it the right thing, but the fact that she had that desire to want to have children, that makes it that the children end up better. However, if a woman demands openly, I want A, I want B, that's chatzufa. It's not something that a woman should speak out. Pashut is because it's near. A woman has to be more private, So that's what it is. But down to the Rosh, the Matsuya Atsuyev, Mishaglasa Bidvarim. She persuades him. She acts kind. She acts nice. She does things that, if he's any smart to him, picks up the hints, the cues, that this is what she wants. That's great. Because then she's prepared to conceive, then she's in a higher, it makes the child better. However, if she does it in a chutzpahdik way, in a way that's demanding without being sneeristic about it, that is a negative. Yes, doctor?
Did you see anyone explain that possibly the reason 9 instead of 10 is just in the abbreviation of Rav Levi that...
Yes, I did. I saw people say that Aleph can be 2.
No. That the last one, Chasufa, is being discarded by the Gemara.
No, it's not.
So it's
katsufa is
not discarded.
The Gemara is rejecting it.
No, it's not. It's explaining it. There's a difference in how she does it. That was the Gemara's answer. It's a great thing.
No, I understand.
Nobody
that.
Rejected katsufa. Nobody argues. The Gemara questioned it, and the Gemara explained it.
Some category.
What was
Lashon? A lie tavai, kisachar sechatikha betetoy b'ni.
A little bit.
So, Duran asked your question. He doesn't ask it, but he answers it. He says, I'll read you Duran, take a look at it. My three yards say, right in front of the end of the Perek. Shemefata isa b'dibri ritzu epiyas kaleya. So I'm a Yaakov and lost by Ella. He said, "Can you come to my tent?" Eli told her, "Come to my tent." She didn't say have a relationship with me. Just come to my tent. Now Yaakov is not stupid, but she never spoke out. She just said Eli told her. Had machreilu mutarim. We move on.
Rabbi, can I ask you a question? Why the Gemara didn't bring up a sort of obvious example, maybe it's not really Negeya here, of in Mitzrayim, how the Nashim were seducing their husbands when they were Avadim, and the way they did it.
Excellent question. The Gemara asked some psukim, rather from Madrashim. The Pasuk never says, Beferish and Chumash, that that's what the women did in Mitzrayim. The Medrash brings it down based on Psukim and Navi that the Medrash translates that that's what they did. But it never speaks it out explicitly in the Chumash. The story of Leah is explicit in the Chumash. So if you're going to ask a question, you want to ask it from an explicit Pasuk rather than from a Chazal. It's a good question from Chazal also. But again, why ask a question that you can ask a better question? A Pasuk is the better question. It's like I answered Feitel why the Gemara didn't bring the Medrash of Azav and Amalek. First of all, I don't know if the Gemara agrees to that Medrash. It's a Medrash. Second of all, it's not every Medrash is agreed upon. Second of all, this is a Pasuk. We always want to ask him Sukkim,
the
Rebbe Feirish. Yeah, but all he wanted to know is why didn't the Gemara bring that as the question? That was of course, the answer is the same. We are now moving into a different section of Masechtas Nedarim, and that's going to be a concentration, at least at the beginning, about Hataras Nedarim, which Nedarim need Hatara, which Nedarim don't need Hatara, which we got involved in at the end of the last page. I've noticed throughout Shas, and again, this is just an observation, that sometimes, many times, the last Mishnah in Perek is the beginning of the next Perek. I don't know why Rabbeinu HaKadosh did it. He must have had a reason.
The last
Mishnah of Perek A is really a lead-in to the next Perek. We were talking about what kind of Nedarim you can make and not make, and then all of a sudden we started talking about whether you can explain that or you need it, you don't need that Hatara, and now we're moving into the section of Hataras Nedarim. I'm going to Nedarim B'tir HaKadosh. For Nedarim, Chazal said, do not need that you go to Tzalt and get a Heter. You don't have to get a... It's automatically not a Neder. Four different types of Nedarim. Each one of these four will be explained in a subsequent Mishnah. I'll give a generic translation, and I'll leave the translation for later. You know why I do that? Not I would have done it anyway. But the Rush says, I bought the Dharma material Chachamim, Kulam of Arshav and Masnissus. They'll all be explained in the Mishnah. Means, don't sit here and try to figure out what each one is. The Mishnah will explain it to you. Have patience. What are they? Nidrei Zuzin. Nidrei Zuzin is a netter made to get people to do things, to be diligent, to get, it's not the right word here, diligence. How does he use, what does he say? To get, it's
motivational,
thank you. Motivational. Nidrei Havai, the Dharam that are totally Narishkite. What word in English is Narishkite? What?
Exaggerations.
Nidrei Shlagas.
Unwitting.
What?
Unwitting.
Unwitting? I don't know what that word means. I guess it means Havai. Nidre Shgagas. Nidre Shgagas is a mistake. That's unwitting. Even though I understood that that's unwitting. And Nidre Einsen. An accident happened. And therefore he violated, and we'll see later on, that Nidarim, that an accident happened, do not need Hatara. Again, each case will be explained in a subsequent Mishnah. And we're going to start with Nidre Zuzin. Keita. He was selling something. And the seller says, I ban this piece of bread if I, meaning this bread will be banned from me if I give it to you for less than a seller. This is my bottom line. I am selling this for $100, and if I give it to you for less, I'll be ushering that piece of bread. And the buyer says, I banned this piece of bread if I'm going to pay you a penny more than $50. Both of them made nadarim. Both of them are insisting on a bottom line. Dr. Mishnah, Shneim writes in Mishnah, it's an arm, the stoop shot of the Gemara. So the Gemara is going to explain it one of two ways. The Rush in this Mishnah explains it one way already. They never meant it. It was all motivational. I'm going to get that guy to lower my price if I come in with a lower price. And the seller says, I'll get the guy to give more to me if I come in with a higher price. So they're using this netter to prove a point. Don't bargain with me. And the other guy says, don't bargain with me. And the answer is, they never meant it. They both meant that they're going to compromise at $75. That's what they meant. It was a motivation to force the other guy to move. And therefore, they didn't mean the netter. It's not considered a netter. You don't need Hatara. That's going to be the second shot in the Gemara. The Rush brings it in the Mishnah. So I'm going to have to lead the Rush, so I have to explain it, so we'll do it. Dr. Rush. I ban this bread if I give it to you for less than a seller. Shneim writes to begin with an arm. Dr. Rush. They didn't mean a netter. The Meicher used this netter to motivate the Lekeach to add money. And the Lekeach used his netter to force the Meicher down. A netter needs that you know what you're doing, that you mean what you're doing. We don't usually take into account what people think. We listen to their words, and we go by their words. Why should we all of a sudden consider what he meant? That's not what he said. He said, I'm not giving it to less than a seller. Dr. Rush, he's still explaining his question. If the neuter says, I meant something else, right? Unless that's the translation of a word. But here the words can be translated different than they are. I ban the bread if I give it to you for less than a seller. There's no way to translate that differently. And now he's saying, I didn't mean it. So what if you say you didn't mean it? We don't care what you think. We listen to your words. Dr. Rush, Heichid the Muchach Mosa Kihacha. When everybody understands it, Shekain Derech Kol Meichrim Beleichrim Lassus Kain. This is the way of the world. Anybody watching says, this is just motivational. This is not meaningful. So then, Azlina Basit Varm Shemalev. This is called Liboy Velev Kaladam. This is something that anybody who has any brains understands that they're using it as motivation.
Even if he says it later?
What?
Even if he says later, I didn't mean that? What happens if he says later?
So that's the that they talk about. If I believe correctly, it says that if he says he meant it, then it isn't it.
This reminds me of the thing when Rebbe said when Rebbe used to work at the, tell us about the thing with the shaking hands thing.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The jewelry thing. The jewelry place.
Yeah, that's a Kenyan. That's Kenyanim.
No, I'm saying, if you shake hands, and then you say, I don't know,
the diamond district.
What?
Mazel bracha.
What?
Business?
Well, if you can come up with a case that everybody can understand it?
I think the Gemara has a case where a person, please come to my house, and the other person says, I won't. So they, one of them makes a nether or a shua. We had this earlier.
Right.
And he didn't really mean it, but just to get him off his
Again, if that's what everybody understands, we'll have a case similar coming up. If that's what everybody means, that's what everybody means. I don't know. You're deciding that's what everybody means. By the way, the Gemara will give a case like that. So we'll wait for that Gemara. Yes,
Rabbi, so obviously if... I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Obviously, if he had said this to his wife before he left for the shop or for the bargaining, it would be enforced. He's not talking to the... He's not in the middle of negotiations.
Right. Meaning if he says this before he goes to negotiate, I'm never going to give it to the guy. He didn't tell it to the guy, then it's not motivational. You're right.
But why... This is kind of... it's an obvious question. We don't like people to say... I swear on my children's lives that this thing is blah, 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 genuine.
No. Again, nobody's saying that we recommend this. Nobody's saying that. But what we're saying is that we understand that he didn't mean what he said. It's self-evident. If it's not self-evident, it isn't better.
I would just give you a case
that in those days was the derech of business. Today, I don't think we use the derech in business. But they did. Whether it's right or wrong is not the question here. The question is whether he needs to be matir neder.
It's interesting to me that we worry so much about ayin hara, about the things that when things slip out of our mouths, that this is not deemed okay, but it's not enforceable. Yeah, I know what your answer is going to be.
That's fair. Okay. Something am I right? Now, what I just said... is the second shot of the Gemara. It's not the first shot of the Gemara. So it's interesting that the Rush went and explained it like the second shot. When there is a first shot in the Gemara, it's going to say a whole different shot in the Mishnah. Let's read the Gemara. Abanadarm, Hitiru Chacham, Amrle Rababa Barmamalu Rabambi, Amrle Mishmed Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, you told us over the name of Yehuda Nesia, Mantana Abanadarm, Rabbi Yehudi Gamushim Rabtarfin. If you remember, we learned this, I think, 2 days ago, that Rabbi Yehuda said that, in the name of Rabbi Tarfon, that if there's a person walking by, and Rubei says, I'll be a Nazir if he's a Nazir, and Shimon said, I'll be a Nazir if he's not a Nazir, neither are Naziris, because they have to have clarity at the time that they say it, right? So over here, same thing here. At the time when he made the neder, he said, if I give it for less than a sella, maybe he won't give it less than a sella. The neder is dependent on a condition that will be found out later. That, Reb Tarfon told us, is not Nazirus. Our mission is saying that Reb Tarfon holds by every neder that way. Again, he's saying, if I give it for less than a sella, the bread will be bad for me. Now, he doesn't know what the end will be. Maybe he won't give it to less than a sella. So the bread won't be bad for him. That means when he made this netter, it wasn't clear whether it would work or not. This is a different shot than we said in the Mishnah. Has nothing to do with intention. He intends to make the netter. But he doesn't know if it'll work. It depends on something that will be clarified in the future. Therefore, Reb Tarfon said it doesn't work by Nazirus, and we're extending that to Nedarim.
What happened by Mea Kor?
Same thing. Reb Tarfon would say it's not
an... Yeah,
that was Nazirus.
Right, I'm saying...
We're extending it now to Netter. We're not arguing. We're not... I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm saying Reb Tarfon would hold him that... It's Machlokas there, no?
Again, Reb Tarfon would hold the Yehuda. He would say that it's not a Nazirus. That's what he said. He said Nazirus needs clarity at the time you make it. Now, the Rishonim are bothered by this, by the way. Or Achrayim, I'm not sure of who I saw it from. Does that mean Reb Tarfon holds no conditions in Netter? You never make a Netter conditionally? So they answer that conditions can be made if the person that makes the condition has the ability to either keep or not keep the condition. The guy says there'll be a Nazir if he goes to New York. He can decide whether he wants to go to New York or not. That's considered clarity. It's when it's dependent on something that he doesn't control. If there's 100 core, if this guy is a Nazir, these are things he has no control over. Then that's not clarity. But anything that he could do, and it's in his control to either yes or not. That means he has the ability to decide whether this works or not. They say Reb Tarfon would agree that's clarity. That's not Pashup Shad Reb Tarfon. Pashup Shad would say he doesn't agree to any Tanai. But these people, whoever says this, I forgot who it was, is bothered by the fact you can't make a condition in a Dharma according to Reb Tarfon. No conditions. So they want to say there's two kinds of conditions. Conditions you control and conditions that you have no control over. And the Reb Tarfon only meant that it's not clear if you have no control. But if you have control, that's called clarity. Even though you don't know yet. But it's within your control. Rav Amar, Afilu Teima Rabbana. Rav says that's not Pshat in our Mishnah. Miktanu Shneim Ratzu? Does it say they both wanted? Meaning, did it say that they wanted Shneim Ratzu? Let me explain how this goes. Miktanu Shneim Ratzu? If it would be that Shneim Ratzu means they both agreed. That means at the end they agreed to three. Again, let me explain. If you learn the first way in the Gemara, the story says as follows. The seller says, I ban this piece of bread if I give it for less than a seller. The buyer said, I ban this piece of bread if I pay more than a shekel. Now the Mishnah could have stopped right there. Mishnah could have stopped right there and said, it's not a nether, because it's not clear. What did the Mishnah write? Shneim writes in Bishlei Chetanarim. What does those words mean according to this chat? The answer is, the Mishnah is telling us the end of the story. They both agreed for $75. Now we have to worry, are they asking the piece of bread or not? The Mishnah wrote those words according to the first chat, not to teach us a halacha. The halacha is right there and then at the beginning. One made it on condition, one made it on condition. It doesn't count. Why did the Mishnah have to write the last four words? The answer is the Mishnah is writing the rest of the story. They agreed to 75, and now they want to know, what do they do with their netter? So Reb Tarfon tells them, don't worry, it was not a netter to begin with because it wasn't clear. So according to that shot, it's not that this is a halacha. Shneim writes in Mishlei Chetanarim, it's not a reason. It's what happened. They both made the Dharam, and they both violated it. Because they agreed to give $75. Now they want to know, are they now obligated to eat, can they eat the piece of bread or not? But the halacha is not dependent on those words. That's the story. Dr. Rava, for that it would have said Shneim Ratzu, meaning they agreed now. This is the final part of the story. They agreed to $75. And what happens? It says Shneim Ratzim. Ratzim is a lashon of constant. They always wanted $75. Not that they agreed upon it at the end, but they always wanted $75. This is the reason of the Mishnah. Dr. Rava, does it say Shneim Ratzu that they agreed? Shneim Ratzim Ktani, which means they never meant the netter, which means the second shot, which is that neither meant it. And it's not Dvarim Shebelev, because that's business. This is the way all business works. Dr. Rush? Ein Echem Hem Nazir, he's explaining Reb Tarfon. Bei Shoyaydim, two people were standing. And the Nazir walked by in front of them. I explained this in the last parrot. That Nazir and Naziris is a hekish. Since at the time of the Nazir it wasn't clarity, maybe his friend will agree. Maybe the buyer won't pay a seller. We're having that. Miktanu Shneim Ratzim to have a mashmash of the stripes, the straps or Shneim Bishloish of the Narim. They both agreed. Well, the Zeh Lohi died to Mikar, that's not what they meant. Hilkul Lohi Nidram Bar B'shat Saneder V'en Kanafla. Then it means the reason it doesn't work is because it wasn't clear. Shneim Ratzim Ktani. The mashmash, the B'shat Saneder Bar Lohu. We knew all along. Shneim Ratzim B'kak. Lohi Kivnu Kim Lizaris. They meant it motivational. Well, Mikar Lohi Nidram wasn't a Nidram to begin with. So this is two pshatim in the Mishnah. Now the Rush in the Mishnah brings the second pshat. Zok the Gemara writer. Amar le Ravino
Rav Ashi. What? Because he did. Well, why would that be? Because that's how he passed. Well, why would the Rush do that?
I mean, the simple answer is you'd have to ask him.
No. It's because we pass like the second lesson.
There's no psak here. We don't pass like
the
time. I don't know. He doesn't have to get involved in picking who's the time is like. It's everybody. Maybe that's why he explained it that way. I don't know. The Rush didn't talk to me. I mean, he does the writing, but that's it. No, the Rush has not come to me in the dream. At least he hasn't yet. So I think my writer. I'm a Ravina Ravashi. I'm a Tzvei Misela. What happens if the guy said, I won't give it less than $118? And the other one said, I'm not going to pay any more than $37.50. And there's two pshatim in this Gemara. The Rush, and one of the pshatim in the Rav learned, it's distance. The distance is much further. Usually motivation, one guy starts, the other guy responds, but it's within a range. When a guy wants 118 and the other guy's offered 37, that's like too far to say that it was used for a motivation. They are off the charts. That's one shot in the Gemara. Do we still say it's a motivation? Or is the fact that they're so far away from each other, by the way, I made up the numbers 118 and 37, maybe the fact that they're so far away from them, it's not motivational. Or that's one shot in the Gemara. The Ram brings a second shot in the Gemara. He's being very exact, not a round number. Motivation is used, you use a round number. I won't give it for less than 100. And he says, I'm not giving it for less than 118.50. That doesn't sound motivational. He's using an exact number. When you want to be motivational, you use round numbers. 150, not 118.50 and 37.50. That's too exact. All right, so the question is that motivational or not?
The motivational comes before. How do you know what the other guy is going to answer?
Doesn't make a difference. I'm saying a number that I don't mean, and I'm using it because I want you to come closer to whatever. You're going to again. I know in business. I know in business that he's probably going to bargain with me.
So it doesn't matter what he's. It doesn't matter what the distance is.
Well, that's the Shiloh. Does it or doesn't it? That's not true.
I don't know where he's going to be at. I don't know. Again, I'm thinking about this before he talks. It's been my business.
Again, I hear what you're saying. You're asking, I think it's a good question. But the Gemara is saying, according to one shot in the Ramban, your question's not a question. He's being exact. Motivations use round numbers.
That's why I said the first.
Right.
The first.
But according to the first shot, again, I hear your question. I'm trying to figure out how to answer it. I don't have a clear answer at this point. Meaning, how does the first guy know that the second guy will be so far away? The second guy knows.
I know that. That's what I said.
Well, the Rebbe learns it either or. You know, I'll tell you the answer. When the seller comes to the buyer, he doesn't start with an edder. He starts with a price. And the buyer responds with a price. Now, the seller tries to use motivation. He uses that netter to motivate. Now, what if the seller was far away from the buyer? Is he going to bother motivating? Is it at this point still motivational?
After
they already said the prices. Now he's trying to motivate. If they're so far apart, is this motivational or not? Let's read the Russian side. Okay. Thank you very much. Yes.
It seems to me that one might also say that the whole concept of enough, of overcharging, mandates that there be a generally recognizable, reasonable price for something. And therefore, it could be also a distance from a reasonable price.
The Rashi don't say that. Yeah, we'll stop over here with the new membership tomorrow.